Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 3 John. Tonight is study number 4, and we'll be reading from 3 John verse 3. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And once again we see the strong emphasis, as we saw in the second epistle of John, it likewise is greatly emphasized in the third epistle, truth. The focus is on truth. Here the elder, the apostle John historically, in all probability, and a representative of God himself, rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. The greatest thing, the thing that brings about the most rejoicing to the elder, is Gaius's relationship to the truth of God, to the truth of the Bible. And, you know, that's also the most important thing for us. What is our relationship to the truth? Do we know the truth? And if so, are we walking in the truth? This would bring rejoicing to God and rejoicing to the kingdom of God, as the elder is rejoicing greatly when he hears the brethren's report, as the brethren testify that Gaius is walking in the truth. They are witnesses to this. And actually, the word translated as testimony, the Greek word, is the word that we get our English word martyr from. And this word is found 4 times in the third epistle of John. It's testified in verse 3. And in verse 5, it says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity. The word borne witness. Those two English words are a translation of the same Greek word. It's also found in verse 12 2 times. Demetrius hath good report. That's the same Greek word. Of all men and of the truth itself. Yea. And we also bear record. Again, that's the same word. And ye know that our record is true. So good report, bear record, borne witness, and testify. The brethren came and gave a good report concerning Gaius. They bore witness of his walking in the truth, that the truth was in him. As a matter of fact, the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Now that's very important, because we know that Jesus said in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the truth. And so if the truth is in a person, that means that Christ is in them. The Spirit of Christ is indwelling them. And so no wonder the elder is rejoicing greatly at the report of the brethren who testified. They gave witness of the truth that is in Gaius, who also represents the elect, as this rejoicing would take place concerning any child of God. There is great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And when a sinner walks in truth, following the work, God's gift of granting them repentance, and then they follow the truth, then this is evidence of that salvation, and the rejoicing continues. Great rejoicing over this. Well, how do the brethren know that Gaius had the truth in him? That's an interesting question. Yes, we know this is the word of God and God knows these things, but still this is a historical statement. The elder is speaking of Gaius, and there were some brethren who came to the elder John and gave a good report concerning Gaius. They obviously spent some time with him, perhaps in Derby or perhaps in Macedonia or some of the mission trips, if this is the same Gaius that traveled with the Apostle Paul. But, all right, they spent some time with him, and they had discussions with him, and they saw him living. They saw him being an example of the believer as he went about his daily business in serving God. And so they come to John in another location, and the conversation turns to Gaius. And the brethren testify, "Oh, Gaius is a true child of God. Yes, the truth is in him, and he walks in the truth," they reported to the elder. And so the elder, the Apostle John, rejoices at this report, that here is a man that is doing things God's way, that is following the word of God, and therefore following Christ. And certainly the report is the truth is in him. Christ himself is within Gaius. But again, how do they know that the truth is in him? Well, you know, actually, no one knows the heart of another person. The only one that knows is God. This is what the Bible says about the heart of man in Jeremiah chapter 17. It says in verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Well, no man can know another man's heart. But let's read what the next verse says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 10. "I, Jehovah, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So who can know the heart? No man can. We cannot even know our own heart perfectly. We could certainly be deceiving our own selves. It's possible. Yet God knows the heart. He knows what is in man. He knows the true spiritual condition of every human being. But the brethren who visited John and reported the good works of Gaius and that the truth was in him, they didn't know Gaius's heart. No, but what they could have known and what we can know also is what the Bible says. We can know by God's grace, as he opens up our understanding to certain truths, that the Bible teaches that we're all sinners and we're all subject to destruction, and that of ourselves there is no hope. It's impossible to become saved, that salvation is of the Lord, and he has to do that work. We can know many truths of the Bible. We can know how God would have us to handle his word in a upright way, and so on. And so the brethren know the Bible, and they also could recognize when someone is following the Bible, is following that truth. In other words, Gaius's life was matching the word of God. He was walking uprightly according to the scripture as far as they understood the truth of the Bible. And they saw this evidence in Gaius, since he was following the truth outwardly, and he knew the truth outwardly, and from everything they could tell, therefore, the truth was in him. This is why he had such a love for the word of God and desire to do the will of God and an understanding of what that will was. And so they reported. They said to the elder, let me read it again in 3 John 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. So the brethren said, everything we saw matches up perfectly or very well. Of course, no one does the truth of the Word of God perfectly except the Lord Jesus Christ. But it matches up very well. This man, from our limited perspective, from all that we can tell, is a true believer, a true child of God. You know, by the way, this is why we constantly would refer to an individual who does give evidence of being born again as a true believer, as opposed to simply saying, well, he's a believer. We would say a true believer because there are so many that are not true believers. Yes, they're believers if you ask them. There's about 2 billion professed believers in the world. But how many true believers? That is, they know the truth. They also follow the truth, and thereby they give evidence that the truth is in them, and therefore they are a true believer. Well, that number is much less than 2 billion. It is a remnant of that whole. It is a much smaller number. When we speak to believers and profess believers, and it doesn't take long, and soon they're talking about accepting Christ, and oh, the child of God, we're not rejoicing at all when we hear that kind of testimony. Or they talk about going to church this coming Sunday, and we just shake our head inwardly a little bit. Oh, don't they know? Didn't they hear? Didn't they understand that God is through with the church? The church age is over. And so on. With many teachings of the Bible, when we have communication with professed believers, we do not rejoice. We are normally sorrowing at the report that we're hearing from the testimony of this individual and that individual. This is very common today. It is hard to meet just a casual believer and to hear their witness of what the Bible teaches and to rejoice in it because they are far from truth. The churches and congregations have led multitudes astray. And now we're living in a time when God is finished with the church and there's no turning back for large numbers of professed Christians. They have been given up by God. And so it is a wonderful thing when we meet someone who is a professed believer and we begin talking to them and they talk about the end of the church age. Oh, you know about that. Yes, I know about the end of the church age. So we talk to them some more and we find out that they understand that we're not saved by our belief. Oh no, they say that's a work. We're saved by the faith of Christ. Oh, what a joyous thing it is to the ears of a fellow believer to meet someone who understands the truth, and we continue talking, and they hold on to the truth that May 21 was Judgment Day, and we rejoice even further, and this is how it is. We rejoice greatly when we find someone who knows the truth and who has walked in the truth. They've maintained the witness of the Bible in these areas. Of course, we never know the personal life of anyone, but for the most part, what we can know, we rejoice in, we thank God we've met a fellow believer, and we would give testimony if we were having a discussion with someone and we would say, you know, I met this person in the park and we had a discussion, and I think he was a true believer because he upheld the truths of the Bible. And that's exactly what's going on here in 3 John, as the elder is rejoicing when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, that is Gaius, even as thou walkest in the truth. Well, you know, we keep mentioning the truth because God does, and the Bible is truth. God is true, though every man be a liar. His word is truth. And that's a great blessing, that in a world full of lies and deceitfulness, and in a world that loves fiction, fables, and fairy tales, in a world that prefers Santa Claus over the birth of Christ, and the Easter Bunny over the resurrection of Christ, in a world that is not content or satisfied with the truth of things, but prefers to make up stories and to tell tales and to speak lies in order for them to be comfortable and happy and content. This is the type of world we live in. And if we go to a library, we have shelves upon shelves upon shelves full of lies in one way or another, philosophies, and even in science, when the world gives its description of things and it speaks of evolution, it's a lie. Of course it is. The world wouldn't know what to do with the truth, so it must speak a lie. It must maintain a lie and relate a lie to its students. And so the science section is full of lies, the philosophy section is full of lies, the religious section is full of lies, and of course the fiction section is admittedly full of lies, lies upon lies. There is no end to the making of books that men make, and there's no end to the lies that fill those books, and to the stories and accounts that men tell. They're very comfortable swimming in an ocean full of deceitfulness, full of trickery and underhandedness and lies. But when it comes to the truth, where do we turn? Which aisle in the library do we go down? I'm not sure how many libraries still have a Bible in it, but if they do, forget all the other books. Don't waste your time. Don't bother spending hours and hours trying to figure out what some man has devised out of his own thinking and his own reasoning, which is extremely limited and finite. But just go straight for that Bible in the library, or more importantly, in your home, and pick that up. And stay with it. Don't turn anywhere else. There's no need to read the magazine. We already know what's in the magazine. It's just a replay over and over and over again of the same lies. We know what's in the newspaper. It's a record of the deceitfulness of mankind as it tries to live in this world apart from God. It's a record of the lie that this world is, as it gives the illusion that it knows what it's doing when it has not a clue how to live in a right way when it lives apart from God. So forget the paper, forget the magazine, forget the television show. What kind of show is it? Well, it's a bunch of actors that have gotten together to memorize their parts and to pretend that they are someone who they are not, and they speak lies, very believable lies. Man is so convincing when he lies. He is so credible. He can certainly look you in the eye and tell you nothing but lies. So why do we watch? Why do we read? Why do we spend our time focused on these things when there is a source of truth, where there is something that is not a lie, that is true in every letter, in every word, that is true wherever we turn? And so we have this great and tremendous blessing that God has given us of the Bible, and we are free to read it. We can spend as much time as we have available in reading the Bible and studying the Bible and learning of truth. But of course, if we're not saved, then it will be very uncomfortable reading the Bible, because we're in darkness and the Bible is light, because we love the lie and the Bible is true, and because we'll be convicted by the Bible. The Bible will pronounce woes and judgments and reveal plagues upon us. And so we would want to stay away from the pure, true word of the Scripture if we're not saved. But if we're a child of God and the truth is in us, well, the truth, the pure and holy truth that is Christ and the Spirit of God, will draw us irresistibly, will not be able to hold back. He'll draw us in a way that we'll never be able to resist, and we'll go to the Bible and read, and we'll immerse ourselves, we'll cleave to that which is good, and we'll cleave to the truth of the Word of God, and we'll read the only thing in this world that we can trust and rely on, and it will be an oasis. It'll be an escape from the things of this world that are constantly lying to us, and we can turn somewhere where we can finally hear the truth.